Accession number 17301, reel 4.
Mr. Zorokovsky, reel 4. You were talking about the equipment.
So when I came there, I have these trousers. I have these leather shoes from the prison camp. I have my hat with the, on the ears, and my jacket and shirt. So like this, I come to the my regiment. We were in this suit all the time. To come first issue of the jackets and trousers, Soviet. Fufaikin is with the cotton. You see, preparing for winter was coming, preparing. So I have trousers and a jacket. In this time, in Soviet Union, was in this area, there was not enough people to work on the farms, on the kolkhozes, on sovkhozes. So they asked Polish soldiers to go to the farms to work. Volunteers. From my company went quite a lot. And I refused to go. I said, look, I stay in the regiment, in the company. I don't go away from the group, you know, from the crowd. I was always afraid going somewhere, something happened and I won't come back, you see. So I rather stick with the regiment. So because they have no shoes, no clothes, so they took for these boys who went to the farms my boots and my jacket, no trousers. They left my trousers, this issue trousers. Then come again, you see, a new supply. So I have jacket and I have Russian high boots, which are leather tops and all cloth. Very good, very good. And lead and rubber soles. So we have this, and then they come first issue of the British supply, which was overcoats. Overcoats which was made in England in 1938 and 1939. There was this pieces of mark.
A label.
Yes, label. Label in date. And they were wonderful overcoats because they have this the material was made so that water never got through really. This was beautiful. We never have in the Middle East anymore like this. This was the best issue in there of these materials. So we have this, and then come General Sikorsky. This was already winter. I was wearing Russian Soviet fur hat, see? No, us. We have budzienny hat. Budzienny hat is with a peak. Yes, pointed. We have this. So we remove the star, and they have beautiful made enamel star with the hammer and sickle. Beautifully made. You know, really beautiful. So we all this remove, we cut the pick, and we stick eagles from the tin of the food. You know, the chappie was cutting out. So we have these hats, my company, or even probably my battalion. Because in the Russian system, it's 3 battalions to the regiment. I was in the 2nd. So this was, I have my fufaika, this jacket, Soviet jacket, Soviet trousers, Soviet boots, and English overcoat, and English stockings, socks, gray socks, English, which was, you know, really first time, because we have onutsa, this piece of rags before issued too. So they, we changed for the socks. So we have socks here and socks on the hands. It was so cold. We have the gloves. And we paraded in the front of the General Sikorsky, which owned this trimmings there, you see. So there was a wonderful parade.
Where is this inspection?
In Totskoye. In Totskoye, this is very near Kuybyshe, when Sikorsky come visit us in December sometimes. Yeah. So then we went. After the we have Christmas there, And after Christmas, we went to the south to Kitab. And there we were issued British uniform complete. It's everything. Everything Soviet was taken away, and we have new British uniforms. With the sober, not tropical uniform, but this dark denim, long trousers, and this battle dress, a dark green denim. Very, very good this was. And we have no weapons except for one battalion. They led us from the 5th Division to exercise. And we have exercised in the front of the Russian General NKVD, famous name, but he wasn't this famous. Zhukov. So we have exercised in the front of him. He came on the commission with our generals and all this. And we have the big exercises, very, very tough, believe me, tough. And we have the weapons. And I was carrying the Soviet machine gun with the one round of the ammunition, which was very heavy. Yes. And then come time when we went to Persia. You see, we have the terrible disease because we have epidemic of the, you know, when you have stomach trouble, dysentery. And our regiment, which was a very big regiment, would say about roughly 2,000 men. We left there about nearly 400 men dead, you know, in the Kitab on the cemetery. It was terrible. You know, this was really terrible. A lot of people was dying there. Very hot weather, you know. But Uzbeks was very friendly to us. And what happened, you know, that from Shahija, which was few miles from the Kitab, they have bakery there. And our carts with the horses and one soldier with the Ralfu from the guard was going there to bring this bread. One day, Uzbeks came and told the driver and the soldier, "Don't be funny. Do what we are telling you." So they drive their summer house. This load the bread, and send them with the Ralfu with empty cart back to regiment, and told drivers that tell commander that we need the bread. This is why we did this. So they was very, very friendly to us, because before there where we camp, our camp was, battalion of the Soviet army was killed in the night, whole battalion killed by the knives, by the Uzbeks, before we come there. And we was staying on the same territory. So this was very, very, very peculiar things. I remember one, we have a gypsy boy in the regiment, and he went and pinched cucumbers in the village. So they called him and tie up strings with the you know, what do you call?
A noose.
With the loose on the head. Loose, with the loose. About four or five of them. And we were washing our underwears or our clothes in the stream. And we saw this, you know, parade, you know, choppy, our this soldier with this noose on their head, and this old Uzbek people with these long white dresses, embroidered with the green colors with these hats. So they took him to the command, released him, of course, and told him, you know, that he was caught on the pinching cucumbers. So our commander punished him, you know, as he could, and told sorry. And they went, you know, without any trouble. They could kill him, yes? Nobody could find, but they didn't. they were very friendly to us. Very friendly.
How did you actually get out of Uzbekistan to Persia?
Ah, in August, I think, August or September 1942, last group of Polish army went to Persia. General Anders arranged with the Soviet command that Polish army will be released. Exactly, there was some argument which I can't tell you much, that General Sikorski, according to this, he wasn't very pleased with this leaving the Polish army from the Soviet Union. But somehow General Anders make his way, and we left. So all this 5th Division, 6th Division, which was full of the people, and so many another division which wasn't mad yet, see, all come to the Persia. I can't tell you how many thousand, but quite a few thousand. And a man, Berling, Colonel Berling, who formed later division of the Kosciuszko division in Soviet Union, he fight with the Soviet Union toward the Berlin, he didn't come out. He refused to come out. And he formed the division, Kosciuszko division. So like this I come out. This from there come out to my brother, my mother with the three sisters come out, and my colleague Bartoszewicz, Żółkiewicz, all with this, we come out with the army from there.
What was the journey like?
You see, we were very... I tell you how I saw this. I never been sick in the army. So from the joining the army to the I have malaria in the Iraq, I was a healthy man. And this very big thing, because my colleagues have dysentery and they have terrible time. We used to dry the bread and bring them water, you know. The dysentery is terrible because you are so weak. You go into the lavatory, you can't come up. You go into this stream to wash your things. This is for the people is dysentery or epidemic of this is terrible. And I was this little group which never affect me. So I was going like this to the kitchen, peel the potatoes. On the guard, you know, every 4 hours they could call me because I was this was special. Special situation, so soldiers could be called to their duty after 4 hour rest. So I was on the guard, on the work, on the runner, as a runner, everywhere they used us the small amount soldier which was healthy. And we was looking after this another lot, you see, which was very, for me, all duty by the in the trade was not so bad, but my colleague was going, walking now from the station to the port, was quite a distance, few kilometers. Was very, very hot, there was no water, and he refused to walk. So I didn't know what to do. I tell you that we was carrying in the rucksacks spare pair of shoes, spare iron, this iron
heels,
spare
Nails
for the soles, you know, because the British shoes have this iron
studs.
Spare this. We have spare blankets. We was loaded ever so heavy, you see, with top, helmet, blankets, coats, everything. And he refused. So I took some of the stuff for myself, and I helped him. But in one moment, he just sit and didn't want to get up. And this was my dear friend, you see. I didn't know what to do. So I hit him, you know. I really hit him, in the face, you know. And pull him up, and he walked, just walked because I was pushing him. And we come to this port, Then, you see, we have food, you know, they give us water and release a bit. So, they taught us few of healthy blocks to go and work this lot, the carbide, you know, it was carbide.
Carbide?
Carbide, to the, you know, you put water to make a gas.
Yes.
All boat full of this with the, in the barrels. So I went there with a lot of other boys, and we was taking this out. You see, this crane was all this. We was working with dockers. And a lot of these boys, you know, breathing in, was sick. I wasn't. And, you know, my character is quite funny, you see, because I am, if I do something, I really do. I don't care about anything. I just do. So I was arguing with everybody, keep going, you know, empty ship, we quickly go to Persia, you see. So my colleague was fed up with this. So we finished this. We come to this place where my battalion, my regiment was waiting, you see, because we were in the open air, you see. Then they give me something to eat, and I was sick, believe me. I was so sick. Terrible. So after this, we was ship come, another ship, with full of prisoners. And you see, there was like a bridge from the timber bridge. And all this crowd was coming out. And we all, ex-prisoners, most of us, yes, was watching. We could be there. And probably there were Poles, too. When most of them come out, there come few soldiers, two soldiers, I would say, great big fellows, and come out a little woman, not bigger than about 5 foot, gray hair, black suit, little stick, you know, when this old 19th century ladies, old ladies, always have little bamboo sticks, very light, and she was going with this stick there, and all this crowd, didn't have division, full ship of the men, will be this full ship, will be later, yes, which waiting for the boat, you know, was silent. We were just looking on this two great men, which, you know, on the planks, you hear this, and this little feet of this little woman. Who this was, I don't know. Where she went, I don't know. But this is the things, you see, this is the Soviet Union. They have their enemies. It doesn't matter where, they will be guarded, you see. Yeah, and then they put us on the ship, Russian the ship. Navy men, you know, the seamen, were very, very good. They didn't refuse to give you water, and from there, you know, when they was. So we were looking for the, with the Stachryshinsky, for the our third friend. He was a Galuba, Yusef Galuba was painter. We looking after him because he was very bad. And then we come to Persia, and we were in Persia.
So was this port called Krasnoyarsk?
Krasnovodsk. Krasnovodsk, yes. And we come to Pakhlevi.
What impression did Persia make on you on arrival after living in the Soviet Union?
Telling true, we were so much insulated. You see, my sisters, two sisters, which one is living here, she found me when I came. She took me to her camp, and she feed me there very nicely. But I was so weak then, you see, that on the way to her camp from our camp, I slept for about 2 hours. And I come back, and there was boys which were selling eggs and fruit and melons, you see. So this, but I must say that I never meet the people. I can tell you, I was in the army and I stick with the soldiers. So I can't tell you except exercises in Iraq where we meet a bit civilian people. But again, from the view of the soldier. You see, I can't tell you nothing.
Now, jumping ahead to to 1944, to the battle for Monte Cassino in Italy. You took part in this yourself as an infantryman. Can you tell me the name of your unit, the rank that you had, and the job that you had then, please?
So, I was in the 16th Battalion, Lvov Battalion, 16th Lvov Rifle Battalion. I was in the transport. I was driving the 1500-weight Dodge, and I was private. And when we come to Italy, I did like straight away wine, and I really enjoyed wine. And one day, somebody came to me and told that Poruchnik Wempicki, Adam Wempicki, who was commander of the 4th Company, told them that drivers are second category soldiers. So I didn't wait long. I went to my commanding officer, Captain Hude, and asked him to take me to the commander of the battalion to transfer to the 4th Company, because I shall like to show lieutenant that I am just the same good as him. Of course, I haven't report, but they transferred me straight away to the 4th Company. And when I come there, I was really poorly equipped soldier. I have my rucksack, I have my Tommy gun, and I have my helmet. So all officers know that cocky individual like me won't prove something to the his commander of the company. So straight away, you see, I report there, my sergeant major, then I got to report to the command, to the sergeant of the company, of the battalion sergeant. So I went there, and they told me that from every company is two soldiers taking to the command of the battalion as a runners. Because the runners are mostly killed. So I was rather between the 4th Company and battalion, commander of the battalion. Happened, you see, that we start from the Inferno. Inferno, this is before Valley of the Rapido. And I was already sent in different places, you see. So when we passed the river Rapido, and we come to the mountains, my commanding battalion, Stanchik, Major Stanchik, sent me to found a correspondence. Because battalion was walking one after one in the queue, it's quite distance. So I went to the end of the battalion and went to the brigade. I couldn't find the correspondence. So when I report my commander, that I couldn't find, he said, you should know that they won't be, if they are not already in the battalion, they won't come. So this was them. So I was running quite a lot. We were used, you know, to a lot of different things, because all this field were Phantom Hill, and before 9 or 6, I think it was 6 or 9 of them, where we studied, was all covered with the telephones. And these telephones was torn every time. So because a company was sitting quiet, waiting in the places, we, at the command of the battalion, which was slightly in the back, got to repair the telephones. So we was coming and repairing cables, which was terrible jobs, terrible, you see, because you was quite often on, you see. Of course, you know, there was any movement, they shoot, this see us, this big hill, which called Kaira, they was watching us everywhere. From these 8 men, I left the only one, which are been slightly wounded in my buttock on the one shrapnel. Otherwise, I wasn't touched. This chapter I pull out myself because it was a little, you know, nothing. And I was running, you know, not only to the companies, but also to the other battalion. And to I was when we took the Phantom Hill, we settled there, and on the right of our side, 17th Battalion start moving. In this time, my commanding of the battalion was commander on the whole area on the field. So seeing the 17th Battalion moving, he sent me there to stop. When I was going there, you see, there was jumping jacks, you know, with these wires, which are terrible.
Booby traps,
which you got to be very careful. So to go, say, 500 meters, there was terrible road, you know, terrible distance, enormous distance. So all this that was battle was very, very far distances. After which, when I was there after the battle, there was no distances. It was so close. I came to this major. I was private. He was major. And I said, from the order of the Major Stanchik, he got to stop. He said, I'm not obeying orders of Major Stanchik. So I, private, what I could do? I said, look, you're not going to argue major with the private, yes? If you won't argue, come with me to the major. All right. And he came, and he held the battalion. I remember once, you know, I was taking in the night an exchange for the artillery observers. And I lost my way. Terrible thing, you know. I hold this few people with the signals, you see, with the drums of the cables, you see. And I didn't know where I am. I just lost myself. I went on, I hold them in the place, and I went out. I found out somebody noise. I heard some noise. And there was 14 soldiers from the 14th Battalion who hold the defense, you see. I told them who I am. They told me who they are, and they told me where to go, you know. So I found myself straight away, you see. I knew where to go. So all of these things, you know, I remember my colleague, Bujar Franek. It's night, and our companies are moving, you see. And he was wounded in the legs by the shrapnels, and shrapnels was sitting in the bones. Every movement, he was swearing, shouting, you know, he was really suffering. He was laying on the place this night, not any bushes and nothing, just in the open air, you know. They shooting, us shooting, you know, and everything. And he was suffering. So he want that I found he was from the platoon of signals. So that this Lieutenant Dehoos came, you see. I went to him and he never came. I told him, but he never came. But I come here and there again now, there was coming lighter, you see, a day coming. And there is the most cold, you see. And he really, you know, really was at the end of his nerves, you know. He was really crying, shouting, swearing, mother, father, everybody, you see. Then I went, you know, I couldn't stay longer, you see. I was